¡Órale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, Primo Ricky Torres, and our buen amigo y hermano Jesse Núñez in the house. ¿Cómo estamos, boys?
What's up? What's up?
Good to have a new guest on the show.
Oh, yeah. What's happening, Jesse? Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, gracias
everybody for joining. It's always a pleasure. A pleasure.
Well, gracias everybody for, and he sounds fantastic. This is not just his radio voice. This is his actual voice.
Mis amigos, aquí estamos con Jorge Enrique.
Oh, man. Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer y estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Make sure you're checking out our website at familiaffp.com, as well as our social media channels at familiaffp on Twitter, as well as our Familia FFP Facebook page. Well, Jesse, it's always good to catch up with you, though I will say I would rather that it be over beers, but right now we're kind of virtual beers.
As you say, I'm still having a beer.
That's good. I could tell early on you were drinking, Ricky. That's very good. That's very good. Is that a Hefeweizen? Is that a Hefeweizen?
No, it's a hazy. One of those new age things that all the kids are drinking. It's absolutely
very
delicious.
Exciting. No. It looks very, very trendy. That's what.
Yes, that's exactly it. I'm very basic. I also love pumpkin spice. So that's me.
Oh, wait, no, he's beer? Not... Pumpkin spice beer?
No, the flavor pumpkin spice. Oh.
Like, I thought for a second, pumpkin spice beer, and I'm like, okay, we need to get off the channel.
Hey, that's not that bad if you give it a try, but that's, we'll talk about that later.
That's one you only tried this time of year.
Exactly.
Around Halloween, just,
For jokes.
Well, I think pumpkin spice is really Satan's way of saying...
That's how I feel about peppermint and candy cane flavor. I feel like that's the devil's taste. And Mexican candy, I just can't handle Mexican candy.
Oh, dude, come on. What are you talking about?
Like God, Lucas or none of that, no.
Oh, come on. You know, but you know what it is? I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I will because I do. You know what's the best thing is taking obleas or cajeta. You know, either one. And obleas are the thin wafer that you get with a cajeta in the middle. Or taking just regular cajeta and get a spoonful of that and dunk that into some coffee. Brother, look out. It is not just a sugar high, but it is the smell of the cajeta warm. It just, man, it is so nostalgic. And I, you know, my grandmother died of diabetes, but, you know, what can I say? No, I'm just kidding. You know, she overdosed on cajeta. But
her recipe lives in the family.
But her recipe lives on in my chubby fingers. That's what it does. I'm just, you
know. I was going to say, Jesse, you're bringing me down. But
no, but cajeta, you know, I mean, Mexican candy just is nostalgic to me, you know. And it made you appreciate American candy. And that's how I look at it, right? Because, you know, when there was a piñata when you were a little kid, right? And you had, it was all Mexican candy. And then somebody would drop a Kit Kat in there. You're like, what? It's a Kit Kat. Oh, my God. You know? And so you had an appreciation for the, what I shall say, the domestic chocolate candy. You know, a crunch. You know what I love, though, is a Mr. Good Bar. It's just, ooh, you know, that to me is, you know.
It is
like a Sara Lee cheesecake. It's like a Sara Lee cheesecake that you eat all by yourself. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? I meant to say that you share with your family. Much like my mother, who could slice a Sara Lee cheesecake into 32 slices. It was amazing. She was like a sushi chef because, you know, un pedacito, just a pedacito. And he was like, you know what? Mom, I think the paper is a little bit thicker than that slice you put down. It was literally amazing. But anyway, so that I start waxing nostalgic on all that stuff when you start mentioning Mexican candy.
Oh, I will say that, like, for me, there's nothing greater than Mexican hot chocolate. That was just a little bit better than regular hot chocolate.
Is it true? Have you guys heard anything about Abuelita, the chocolate Nestle? Is that totally not Hispanic?
So the two main the chocolate where, you know, the dark chocolate that you're making it from for the atole, or if you make champurrado, you know, the Abuelita brand was a total ripoff, you know, and it just comes into a Nestle trying to, you know, glom onto, you know, what's the best way to describe it is that people, because it said Abuelita and because you connected it to Abuelita,
they like, got a niche market for it.
Yes, they totally walked it on a niche market. You know, that was the funniest, you know.
Oops.
Yeah.
Woke moment, yeah. Where you're like, ah, man, they got us.
They got us, man. And I think that was, you know, the funniest thing. I think that they have, you know, Ibarra is the brand that we've used for forever, and all it means is bar. So I mean, you know, but that was the brand, right? And then, you know, now it's everybody's like, no, Abuelita is more authentic.
I'm not gonna use Abuelita.
No, it's not.
I will use.
Not gonna use that one.
Ibarra is, and they ripped off the colors. They ripped off the, you know, all of that stuff, you know, because for in my house, it was in my grandma, it was Ibarra all the way, you know, but condensed milk for the champurrado was always Carnation.
Or, exactly. You
know, exactly.
I always felt like that was Mexican, but just because Carnation.
Oh, mira, it's Carnación.
Carnación.
That's what it sounds, you know.
This guy is filled with knowledge.
Oh,
well, I didn't think I would find an answer about Abuelita today.
You know,
Jesse, you've been busy. You've been busy lately. You had some news. Busy. Talk to me. Dinos, primo.
Well, you know, we finally went live with our Titan 23 app, which is the first of all of these athlete apps. And we've been busy with the launch of that. It's been really, really good to see, you know, your ideas finally come to bear, and all these crazy ideas that you think of over beer or liquor of some sort. And to finally have these things come to bear is really, really, you know, it's a really great time. There's no way of hiding that, you know. I'm very happy when I talk about it. We've had an amazing level of engagement on subscriptions, on downloads, on this Titan 23 app, so much so that we're hopefully, the next time I'm here, we're talking about the 9 or 10 different other apps that we're getting going. We've launched into boxing, we're into fitness, we're into MMA, we're into music. We've taken advantage of COVID, you know, the time that COVID has given us, and gotten these other verticals going. But it's man, finally going live with one of these puppies has been extraordinary. And you know, we're learning a lot about the audience, but there is definitely a hunger for authentic and relevant content that isn't, you know, filtered by the team or, you know, some other kind of an entity or organization, that's just coming straight from the athlete direct to the, you know, the fan. And as I told you before, the idea here is to bring together this, you know, bringing people together, this community, this tribe that's based on people, you know, having a fondness or an affinity to a particular individual, because while everyone has a favorite team, everyone has a favorite player. Right. And so that's really and the days of that favorite player staying with a particular team, you know, that's now the anomaly. You know,
so it's a way to follow that player.
Yeah, it's a way to totally follow the player, and you're not, you know, you don't have to pay $55 for the virtual Christmas holiday thing over at Dodger Stadium. You can actually you know, follow that player for free. And you can engage with that player and find out more about him. And you can actually, there's many components to what we're doing. But one of the things is that what I saw when I was at the Dodgers was that people have this affinity that goes, that's to an insane level. I mean, people tattoo the face of their favorite player onto themselves. You know, yeah. It's extraordinary. And so it was kind of like, hey, we can capture that. And what they're trying to do in putting a tattoo that isn't hidden by some article of clothing, but rather, you know, on your leg or your arm, is to show other people that, hey, this is my tribe. This guy's like, you know, I'm part of a tribe or a community. And hey, you know, I want to show you my membership card into this community. And so a lot of that merch that we talk about, you know, the branded merch from each of these individuals or each of these brands is really about you giving you the opportunity to show other people that you're part of this, you know, this tribe or this brand. So it's very, very fascinating. And to me, the athletes have so much intellectual property. You know, the cap, you know, what's going in between the ears to what they do on a daily life, how they've trained, all that stuff is something that they can and they should monetize, you know, by themselves.
Is this something that you're mainly gearing towards retired athletes or athletes that are still on contract with teams?
No. We will be announcing soon some, Adrian is our sort of what we call an MVP, which is the most viable product at the particular moment. And The idea here is that, we'll have a very, very, we'll be announcing soon some new players that are coming to the forefront with their own apps. And so on our boxing app, we're going to have some exciting news on that. And our MVP is a fighter that's Gabe Rosado, who is goes by the acronym KGR, King Gabe Rosado. And so, you know, again, we're going to discover things about the boxing audience. You know, the same thing with the MMA version, which is called Armbar XP. And the idea there is we'll discover, you know, insights and things that are going to go on with that, you know, particular sport. So the ability for us to have a multiple line of business units really speaks to the fact that these sports are all different. Right. A boxing fan isn't necessarily an MMA fan, or better stated, an MMA fan isn't necessarily a boxing fan. Right. There's some boxing fans that watch MMA, but it doesn't go the other way around. And each of those sports has its own particular nuances and what I would call, flavor. Right. The sazón for each of those, you know, individual sports is so unique. And it's important to make sure that we speak to those. We have the platform for each of those sports is altered and tweaked so that it does come across as being not just authentic, but relevant. Right. You need to be relevant to that audience. Right. Our football one, if we ever get there on football, would be radically different to, say, the fitness one. Right. Or the music one. And what it does is that it allows the individual to express themselves and have a different relationship with their fans. And it's not for every fan of the player. This is for the fan that's the hardcore fan, or not the hardcore fan, but very much a fan that's interested in seeing what the player is doing on a daily or weekly basis. And you get an unfiltered look.
Georgie, is there anyone you can think of right now on the top of your head who you're like, I would want to know what this guy's doing? Someone who's playing right now.
Oh my God. So many, you know, so many of them, so many of them. I mean, I
want to know what Mookie's doing.
Yeah. Mookie would be one.
Kike, because he's a goofy guy.
Kike would be a trip. So, and I know Jesse, you know, Kike. So
So Jock is another guy who, because of his whole, okay, you know, he's got so many different things going on, right? He's doing stuff with Champ. He's doing stuff. Mm-hmm. He's even got an Instagram channel for Blue, his dog, right? Those are all these things that you bring over. And again, what I talk about is that, look, anybody can put up a store, but if you don't have an emotional connection to that brand that you're looking at, man, it's hard to get a sale because there's so many other, you know, brands that hit people all the time. But now if you have an emotional connection to that individual, and again, you're buying it, one, to support them or to support their charity, you know, 5% of every, you know, everything that gets made is donated to a charity of the player's choice, you know, so there's that component to it. But, you know, you're either supporting him or his endeavors, or you're, again, showing other people that you're part of this tribe. And you know, one of the things that we have is this exclusive content thing, right? And one of the things that we've been doing is we offer to those folks that subscribe this exclusive content, and then the opportunity to win, you know, not only merch, but memorabilia that's only set aside for the subscribers. So there's this FOMO that's going to drive that too, right? You have this fear of missing out. How did I miss out on an Adrian Gonzalez, you know, baseball glove? How did I not get the, you know, the cleat? You know, all of these things, you know, they're available. And again, each individual athlete is going to have a universe, and we call it an ecosystem, right? But each one of them is going to have their own unique set of fans and followers. And so we're trying to capture that. And again, we're not trying to capture everybody. It's just the slice that are, again, as you mentioned, Ricky, right away, it comes to your head. Who would I want to follow? Right. If we were doing this back when Jorge and I were younger, it'd be like, hey, how can I follow Ron Say? How can I follow Steve Garvey? Or, you know, all of those things. And they stay with you, man.
I feel like the market would be huge for college players, but the NCAA regulations hold against that?
No, it's a good question. And that's going to be a vertical for us as well. Because what you have is an opportunity. The NCAA the player can't make money from his particular sport. There's a punter from Colorado that was also on the U.S. ski team.
Yeah.
So this has been around a long time. So
it's like 20 years ago.
Yeah. So what you're able to do is that you can make money, but it doesn't have to be from your own particular sport. So you say college, I also think of high school. Think of like the McDonald's All-Star game and these kids making that, you know, announcement on the side of the field and whatever. You know who makes money at that? ESPN. You know who doesn't make money at that? The athlete. And so for me, hey, how come the athlete doesn't do it? So now we take high school kids and you have to go to the app, to his or her app, to make, you know, where then there's the announcement. And granted, you have of all those kids that make it that are the 4-star or 5-star athletes in high school, how many of them when they get to college become the 1-star athlete? There's plenty of those stories. But again, you're looking at down the road, right? And I call it sort of an economic theory of singles and doubles. We're not trying to hit a home run every time. You're trying to hit singles and doubles, and you're going to score runs. So it comes in in having a large enough bandwidth to take them on. The thing about it is there's such a niche at so many different levels, and the niche could be huge, and the niche could be small. You know, Olympic athletes. Think about those guys. They spend 10, 12 hours a day training. They probably train more than professional athletes. But because they throw a javelin or that they're pole vaulters or they're divers, you know, they don't get to make money as professionals. They have to work at Home Depot, but they still have can have a tremendous fan base. They're in the top 100 Instagram athletes globally. There are two Chinese divers in that group. Oh, man. They have such an amazing following, right? And again, you could say, yeah, because there's national pride and there's so many people in China following. But nevertheless, you know, it is like diving. OK, it's not like it's.
Hey, their Instagram videos are sick.
I'm sure they do. You know,
they're no synchronized splash. Divers, I think.
Yeah, no splash. Look at no splash. I don't know whatever the goal is. In
no splash.
I have no idea.
But when they're synchronized and they do it at the same time and.
It's quite fascinating, and I think to myself, how many hours did it take to get that right? Right,
I don't think it was hours, but yeah.
Well, you know, or millennia, to get that right. But again, all the behind the scenes stuff. I want to see it when it didn't work. I want to see it when I mean, really, if you're
no, that'd be a great video, a 5-minute video of showing all the failures except the success at the last end. But to see all the different types of players from all the different Olympic sports, giving them that soapbox or that platform, I guess you could say.
Yes.
So it sounds if it gets to where you're, you know, how you're picturing it. Sounds like it could be very, very interesting, very entertaining.
The idea to me comes from the multiple sources, and you know, nowadays kids, and I say kids, you know, the 18 to 25 year olds are not, they don't watch a whole game. They watch highlights, you know, they watch highlights because everything, because it's now a TikTok video, right? Yeah. It's just, you know, that's all it is, right? And even the younger fantasy football, as it relates to our particular show here, even the fantasy football fans, they just want to see highlights, right?
That's all we do with Red Zone, right? No one watches the whole game anymore.
Fearless forecast, you know. You don't care, you know, about the 2 yard run. You want to see that, you know, running back do a 15 yard run and he breaks a couple tackles and, you know, he leapfrogged over somebody. That is a viral moment. So to me, and here's where the difference is, that guy who just did accomplish that, well, that thing is going to play on ESPN as a top 10 highlight for, you know, that night. You know, and his efforts, you know, he got paid for those efforts on the field. But then, you know, what happens before then? He had to train. It just didn't happen. If I go out there on the field, I will get killed. It'll be like Paper Lion. That's an old reference Jorge is going to know about. I will get killed, right? We all will get killed. Except that dude had how many years of training, right? How many? Many things does he get ready? How does he prepare himself for the season? Well, the fans want to see that.
Jesse, tell us where we can find the app.
You can find the Titan 23 app right now on your app store if you have an iPhone, or the Google Play store if you have a Android device. And you can check it out there and you can download it, and it's for free. And if you want to become a subscriber, we're more than happy to have you. You can do that on a monthly or annual basis. If you do it on an annual basis, you get a free Titan 23 hat.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a $30 value. So I would recommend doing that if I was you and you were not me.
And it's such a cool logo.
Yeah, it is a great logo, and that's part of the thing, right? We want to make it, we talked about earlier, right, when I was talking with Ricky, is that you want to let other people know that you're part of this tribe, right? So this is part of, you know, the way you do that, you know, and hopefully you don't have to tattoo yourself, the logo to yourself.
Still do.
But you mentioned earlier Fearless Forecast, so we're recording this before Thursday Night Football. Are going to give me a Fearless Forecast, and then I'm going to add in a little update after the game, so before we release this to the Familia community. What is your Fearless Forecast, Seattle and Arizona?
Okay. I am going to call it for Arizona with Lockett getting 35 points, with Edmonds getting 25 points. Why? Do I say these things? Because they are on my fantasy football team.
I think
wishing it in the future.
Maybe Lockett will get points later in the game because Metcalf's going to have Peterson on him. But I mean, other than that, it's going to be more.
Ricky, are you saying that I am overestimating?
Overcompensating.
How much am I overestimating?
Definitely double. You're over by double. I'll tell you that.
Think over by double. You think 17 and a half points is what he'll get?
20, but I think Edmonds will get like 10.
Wow.
Maybe. We'll see.
Now, let's talk about Seattle's run defense, which is very good. But against the pass-catching running back, it's even worse. And what do you think Edmonds is? Woohoo! Now
is Drake, though. They're both that.
Yeah, but you know, but I don't have Drake. I have Edmonds, Ricky. Let's be very specific.
Arizona has both, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes, you're right. Unfortunately. I hope it's not in alphabetical order when he calls him off the bench, right? You know, it's like, gosh, Drake or Edmonds. Ah, damn it. Drake, go in. Damn it, Drake. But the Lockett, you hit it right on the head. With Peterson on Metcalf, I think Lockett's going to have an amazing day. Remember, last time they played, Lockett did have an amazing day. So
oh, yeah. 200 yards and 3 TDs.
I'm hoping. Listen, I'll take 125 and 2 TDs. That's my prediction.
I'll give it to you since I already beat you last week, so I'm good with that.
Yeah, I know. You have no skin in the game. You don't care.
Well, okay, familia. So here's what ended up happening.
Bueno, Jesse,
sorry.
But your boys only got you 36.6 points combined, which is still pretty good. Lockett caught all nine of his targets for 67 yards and a score, while Edmonds was the receiving threat out of the Arizona backfield, catching four balls for 36 yards and a TD. The game itself was a little more deliberate than the back-and-forth battle that round one of Seahawks-Cardinals was, with Seattle surviving a 28-21 victory. The Cardinals were driving there at the end, but on 4th and 10, Kyler Murray was sacked at the Seattle 33-yard line with 38 seconds left in the game, so turning over the ball on downs, and that was it. Eso era todo. I will say that the game was really starting to feel like they were going to score. The Cardinals were, and that the game was going in overtime. But, Seattle was able to survive, and that now they're in first place. Murray again was a marvel, throwing for 269 yards and two TDs while only running for 15 yards. He seemed to be nursing a sore throwing shoulder a little bit there. He repeatedly placed this heating element or something under his shoulder pads to kind of treat the arm. So this is something we're going to have to keep an eye on going forward. I mean, obviously they've got the extra time to get ready and heal up. Russell Wilson himself was sacked on the first play of the game, which seemed like a bad omen after the way the Rams just kind of, hit him early and often. But he was able to evade the pass rush for most of the rest of the night, throwing for kind of a more pedestrian 197 yards and two TDs. You know, he hasn't hit 300 yards in a few games, but he added 42 yards on the ground. The other TD's pass was to DK Metcalf on a 25-yard dart to the back of the end zone in the first quarter. Metcalf did drop another possible TD in the end zone, but he bounced back from the Ram game with three catches for 46 yards. We're sending good thoughts out to Greg Olsen, who pulled up with what looked like an Achilles injury during the game. I mean, just when you saw the way his foot was pointing at the end, you're like, ooh, and the way he was just hopping around, no es bueno. Carlos Hyde solidified the ground game for the Seahawks with 14 carries for 79 yards and a third quarter TD. He was definitely the missing element for the Seahawks in this game. Back to Arizona and their backfield, Kenyon Drake was held to 29 yards on 11 carries, though he did score a touchdown. So this backfield is still going to be problemas for everybody. Over on the receiving corps, the ageless wonder, Larry Fitzgerald, surprisingly led the Cardinals with 10 targets, catching 8 of them for 62 yards, with DeAndre Hopkins following up his Hail Mary miracle with 50 receiving yards on 5 targets. That's it for Thursday Night Football. All right, let's get into some chisme.
Chisme!
Chisme! All right. That's the best game.
Yeah, so it's DeAndre Swift in concussion protocol. I think it's a good bet that he's missing Sunday's game, which hurts. And the thing about it is, you know, with him going on the concussion protocol today, does it put the Thanksgiving Day game in jeopardy? I mean, this is just as Swift has had two games in a row where he's been the man. And now, this one hurts. This one hurts.
I feel like this came so late.
Yeah.
So usually you can see it depends. Where did this come from? Was the concussion
just came out of the blue this afternoon?
Hopefully it's just something small.
I think what I understand is that he told his wife that he liked the pink lipstick that she has. And she says, I don't own any pink lipstick. And boom.
Yeah.
Concussion.
So he'll be fine by Saturday.
That happens. How many times did you have a concussion from your abuelita flinging the shoe or the chancla?
The flying chancla.
And you go, you ask yourself, what happened? And you say, oh, maybe I should have said I liked the tortillas a lot. You know, but no.
Oh, man. Well, we got a couple of players who did not practice, prominent players. Alvin Kamara and Davante Adams did not practice. Alvin Kamara with a foot injury and Davante Adams with an ankle. Any level of worry on these guys?
I'm playing the Jaguars. Come on.
They're veterans, so I think they're going to be fine.
I think
what we expect. They all want an extra day off. I took an extra day off this week because I feel like I'm a pro. So I think these guys deserve a day off this late in the week too. It's the weather's changing. You want to lay down an extra day.
I think it really is that, you know, the reason you have all of these, you know, DMPs is that the therapeutic chairs that the players have are so comfortable. You know, you just say, you know what, man, I could get a shiatsu massage, but you know what? Never mind that. I'm just going to lay here in this chair.
I can't do those baths they do, the ice cold baths.
Oh, the ice baths. Oh, no.
No. That's pain.
I can't imagine.
No, that looks painful. And I think to myself, I'm of average Mexican height, and I don't need to be laying, you know, sitting in a tub full of ice. That's all I'm going to say.
Latinos, we're not bent to we're not made to be cold. So that's all I'm saying.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
We like beer. We like beer and ice. We don't like
not our feet.
Or not our, together though. Not together. Not together.
Or, well, you know, I call that Pico Rivera style. There is a way in Pico Rivera, a particular part of Southeast Los Angeles County, where they're infamous for putting beer on ice. Very much so.
Oh man. Well, more injuries. Calvin Ridley.
Blasphemy.
Calvin Ridley limited with a foot injury, but he is practicing, which is good after he missed a couple games. And Teddy Bridgewater looking like he's unlikely to play. He had that knee injury that looked at first really ugly, but I mean, we're going to talk about these guys in a bit. So we'll talk about how, if he misses and Will Greer or PJ Walker plays, how that's going to impact some of those receivers.
PJ Walker. It would be so fun to see him play. I'm not sure if you guys know who he is.
Yes.
Kind of like the XFL guy.
Yep.
So it would be fun to get to see him play. Unfortunately, he'd play with Mike Davis, but we'll go into that later.
Well, I think the PJ Walker will be the Fran Tarkenton of the 2020s, because that dude can run. It seems like he's built to run because he played in the XFL. He's built to run automatically, you know, literally take hike, boom, he's running, you know, because he's like, I had no offensive line. I think the game in and of itself, though, will literally be it's Carolina. So we already know what's coming, right?
Oh, we know it's a lot's coming. Well, we're going to talk about that game in a second. I don't know what's coming. We'll talk about that game in a second. You know, it's a part of our rundown. But Jesse, I mean, I'm going to throw out to you. I mean, Joe Mixon not seen a practice. It's
this is a sore point. We executed in our fantasy league a blockbuster trade.
Yes, you did.
And of course Joe Mixon. We had the Jones brothers, and
I wish you would have consulted me. I wish you would have. Well,
I should have called you. No. I called Jorge, you know, and he just said, "Ooh, that's all Jorge said." Ooh.
That's because he wasn't listening to you.
No, because I was playing him that week, and I wanted him to make the deal.
He wanted me to make the deal. That's right. I think you know, Joe Mixon can be a fantasy point.
When
Helion. But we just never have seen it. That's what I was saying. That's my point, Ricky. He has like the potential.
One game. So did
Robert Griffin III. He had so much potential.
That's true. But he broke his. Didn't he break his knees? I mean, the thing was devastating, right? That, you know, it was one. Talk about devastating injuries. That was like, ooh,
his game. Was
that was at Theismann level. That was Alex Smith.
That
level.
Well,
you know. But nevertheless, Joe Mixon just seems to me like on paper, everyone gets excited about like his potential, and it just never seems to come through.
He's a tease.
Unfortunately,
he's a tease. Well, there's a T in Cincinnati. You like that? T Higgins held out of practice.
Was that really your transition?
That was.
Did you write that?
You came up with it like that. Writer. I see.
You need to fire the writer. Fire the writer. That's all I'm doing.
Well, T. Higgins held out of practice with an illness, not considered to be COVID, which that's good news. See, Clyde Edwards.
I believe it's the real flu.
The real flu, a cold, something like that. But they don't want anybody with a sniffle in the building. Clyde Edwards, El Aire. We adopted him as an honorary Mexican because the H is silent. But he is also missed with an illness. So again, not
not expected to be COVID yet. I mean, they have had some issues, but hopefully it's not. And they don't have an outbreak.
I like the fact that you adopted him, but I thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire would be the better.
Well, I only did it because the H is silent in Hilaire. So, Elaire sounds much better.
Hilaire. Okay, then we won't go hilarious. We'll go hilarious.
Hilarious. But, Well, hey, let's finish up the Sunday previews. We got New England 4-5 at Houston 2-7. It's a dome game, so don't worry about weather after what New England was dealing with last week. The Patriots are 2-point favorites with a 48.5 point over under. You know, this kind of game, I think this is a sneaky game where New England could actually put up some offense. Houston's defense is not good. I mean, they're 31st against the run. There are their quarterbacks and wide receivers. They are kind of in the teens to the 20s. I think this is a game that Cam Newton can make some noise. Damian Harris really played well recently. And even though they've been giving the ball to Rex Burkhead, but I think this is a game that is going to be good. Plus New England is not, has not been good against the pass of late because they've had some injuries in their secondary. So it could be Cam Newton to Jacoby Myers. And on, you could have Houston with Deshaun Watson after that crazy weather game that they had in Cleveland. He could be filling up the air with Will Fuller.
Hopefully doubling his yards.
Oh, yeah.
Think this game is just going to be Cam Newton rushing for 110 yards and Deshaun Watson rushing for another. This is going to be, I mean, who ultimately, I think the over-under on this thing is way too high. And I think that if you're of a betting persuasion, you take the points with New England. Who is Cam throwing to and who's Deshaun throwing to, right?
Deshaun's got Will Fuller. Will Fuller's a baller, and I'm hoping
Will Fuller's another. He reminds me of Joe Mixon. He's just such a tease.
Will Fuller has been good when he plays, and at least he's playing.
When he is not on, you know, some kind of a hallucinogenic drug, that's when Fuller plays good. Don't get me started on Will Fuller. Don't get me started on Duke Johnson. There's another,
he's playing instead of David.
Yeah, no. I think what you're left with is coulda, woulda, shoulda. And I just don't like, what's his name? Head coach, Houston, Bill.
Well, no, they fired him.
No. Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien. I hated that guy. He was so bad. And I'm not even a Houston fan. I was just like, that's just guy's bad for football. How do you trade D-Hop? I'm like, anyway.
He made the Cardinals great for the next several years, and we're going to see D-Hop tonight. So
as we saw last weekend,
They're going to be great for years. Well, let's jump over to the Carolina game that we kind of teased about. Teddy Bridgewater not playing. I mean, let's just jump into that because there's also issues with Matthew Stafford and his thumb, but Teddy Bridgewater with his knee. How much does that just drop down their passing game with the receivers, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, TJ Hawkinson, and even Mike Davis coming out of the backfield? I mean,
I don't think it's going to do that much because I feel like when you look at it, it was already going to be a shootout if Teddy played. And if it's not, it looks like if Matthew Stafford can create a nice lead, it's going to be a garbage game for PJ Walker or Will Greer, whichever one. So, and Robbie Anderson thrives in that. So I feel like either way, he's going to get his targets, whether he completes them. It depends how good a pass Robbie these guys Anderson. Can throw.
You know, his best days were the Jets, and that was in preseason for the Jets, Robbie Anderson. I think one of the things that I think is going to be interesting is this game you mentioned. So do you get 28 up on if you're Detroit, you're up 21, 28. What are you doing? You're just going to coach. You're gonna give it to AP and whoever. That's it.
Yeah, or Kerryon Johnson, one of those guys.
Kerryon Johnson, thank you.
Yeah, if DeAndre Swift is out,
it's just gonna turn into that one. And Marvin Jones's numbers are gonna, they're gonna, if they come, they come early. Same thing with Hawkinson. They're gonna come early. And I don't see how, you're really gonna, if you're in a tight race, and you need these points, just turn off the TV because you're going to be so pissed off.
Yeah, if you're chasing points,
be weary
in this
though,
game.
Because Mike Davis just might run all over Detroit.
Oh,
Curtis
man.
Samuel is
Rick,
well.
Yeah.
Detroit is number 32 against the run, against the running backs. So that's,
yeah, I believe the modern day high school football team is 31.
So we'll see what I mean, because I feel like this is the game where if Teddy Bridgewater's not going to play, they're going to rely a lot on Mike Davis. Mike Davis is going to be like, hey, this is it. I ain't playing next week because CMC's back for sure. So,
oh, you know, this is Mike Davis looking for a contract next year. You know,
yes,
it's a good
so, definitely.
And you know, just, I mean,
Curtis Samuel is so cheap on DraftKings every week, and he just always gets the ball. I think this is a week where he definitely vultures a touchdown from somebody.
Wow. Well, what do you think on the over under on this game? What is it?
It's off because of the quarterback injuries. So because both Matthew
because
Stafford,
we might not see Stafford or Bridgewater, and if that's the case,
welcome
game.
To game two of preseason football. Right? That's what if Stafford's not playing, this is whoever has this game on their package. God, I'm sorry, just
this
at
is
the
all
beginning,
this is, not due to COVID.
It's only hardcore fans.
The way it goes,
it's only hardcore fans.
You have to be the guy that paid over $600 for Detroit Lions merch to get excited about this game. If that's the case, if Stafford, who's the backup in Detroit?
No
idea.
Exactly. David Blau. Yeah, I don't even know because right. I think one of the backups is now like in
Marvin
the
Jones,
Jets or something
throws
like that.
The ball.
Probably. Dios mio. Yeah, we're not going to be watching this game a lot. Let's go to Denver. Miami 6-3 at Denver 3-6.
A game where we don't got to worry about the weather. All we got to worry about is the lack of oxygen up there, Mile High. But well, 45.5
is first experience.
And yes. It's 45.5 points. I feel like Denver's defense is okay. They're not that good. So I feel like Tua, even though last week we didn't get to see that much from him, still only 169 yards, yet to crack 200. We didn't see him get any touchdowns. Even Herbert did better than him. But the great thing about Miami is they're all about the defense, man. Their defense
man.
Is crazy.
Ooh, yes.
So Drew Locke with his rib injury, 4 interceptions last week. He's not the type of guy. He's no Tom Brady who can come back from a bad week the way he did. Nah,
well, I think you hit it right on the head. The Miami defense, by the way, which I have in my fantasy football league, is one that has taken a little bit to come, you know, to come to bear. And obviously with no preseason, there were somebody that, you know, had they had a decent preseason, I'm sure they would have this record, their 6-3 record would be a little bit different. I dare say at least 7-2, maybe 8-1. You know,
how late did you get
they didn't
their
have
defense
time to gel.
On your team?
I picked him up in the second game, after the second game,
That's
second or third
early.
Game.
That's pretty
yeah.
early.
So I really you. Think that it went and gelled, you know, had they had time to gel, right? Had they had time to, you know, figure this stuff out, they would have been, man, this is a Miami. And I think they're a great team. You know, they remind me a little bit of the Buccaneers from the Super Bowl era Buccaneers who had Johnson as the quarterback, right? Where it was
Brad
just
Johnson.
All defense. And then, you know, whoever the guy handing the ball to Warwick, was it Warwick Dunn, right? That's kind of what this team reminds me of. And, but with Tua, you actually have a very efficient quarterback. And I think that he provides that, the element, that run pass option is just something that Miami has never had a dynamic, you know, but again, yeah, I think that here's where the coaching staff has made such a difference, right? Brian Flores bringing in just a whole different perspective, and that Denver team is just, you know, a lot of good parts, but not any. I don't see cohesion in any way.
Yeah, I don't see any cohesion at all. I feel like people still they go on and on about Fant, and it's like. Just got to give up on this team for right now. Miami's defense too tough to think that Denver is going to all of a sudden find a way to gel this time.
Yeah,
I just don't see it.
I would take the under on this one because I just don't see the you know that getting to that point, but you never know. Who's Denver's backup? And I apologize for not knowing these things in advance.
Brett Rypien.
No one knows these things, man.
Mark Rypien's nephew.
Wow.
Yeah.
He played sometime
during the season, but
yeah, like he played against the Jets.
I love that, Ricky. He was in for 3 minutes.
He started. He started a whole game.
It was a Thursday night football game. So wow. By the way,
I like that you say Fant. I say Font because I think it's French. I have no idea.
Font.
But it's just no font.
What's going to be interesting in Miami? The backfield. Yep. You got Salvon Ahmed coming off an 85-yard game, but now Matt Breida, the other running back, is practicing. So, this could be a shared backfield. So this all
I think it goes Ahmed, Breida gets a little bit, but wait till Gaskin gets back. It's his backfield. They just look good due to the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go over to
over there for sure.
Oh yeah, let's go to SoFi Stadium. A much more interesting game because I've got two Charger fans here.
This is our game. There's no other way to describe it. This is our game. I have two words for you, Joe Flacco. Okay, so right away, if you want to dial it in any way you want, Joe Flacco is going to guarantee the Chargers a win.
Jose Skinny.
I wish I could be that confident, but unfortunately, my Chargers just know how to lose by just a few points.
Yes, we do.
Because they should be like 5-4, something. I don't know how to count. But
I say 6-3, Rick. But yes.
I feel like this is where we miss like 3 field goals. And I just hope it's high scoring. Justin Herbert's been doing so well. For him to get under 200 yards last week was just –
I thought Ballage, the pickup was tremendous for us. I saw a lot of spark. I saw a tremendous amount of spark.
I see no fantasy relevance, but yes,
no.
I see something for now. I see a lease because as soon as Bad Boy Eckler's back, we're getting rid of Ballage. Just like released? Just like Howard got released.
Jordan Howard. And he got picked up by Philadelphia today. Yeah. So they signed him.
Well, that says it all.
So okay,
exactly. Right. So you don't want to be part of that carousel. So I'm going to be excited.
I'm certainly with Eckler coming back in, but I do think that and I'm a UCLA fan, so I do love Kelly, and I'm glad that he's found a full time
job. He's from my
job,
city.
Western Lancaster. The western portion of
somewhere.
Lancaster.
Probably. I'll just claim all of Lancaster for his
okay,
sake.
Got it.
Hey, Jesse.
West side. So, I mean, it's going to be the new haircut. That's very good.
What was it? I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts on the haircut? Ricky talked about it yesterday, but.
I think Samson. I just, every time somebody does that in the middle of a season, I'm like, have you not read the story of Samson? That's all. But I mean, with Frank Gore at running back, I forgot to mention those two words, Frank Gore running back. I mean, that would have been another reason for this game to not be. But
I would put a lot of money on Crowder for this game. I just feel like it spells out
a lot of yards. Right?
Yeah. He's the only guy for the Jets.
I think because I don't know if I'm going to come back, but for the Super Bowl special, but nevertheless, and certainly the Chargers are not going to be there, so we're not going to talk about it, but I'm very excited for 2021. I really am with the Chargers with this. They've got a good group. Man, Herbert, damn it, dude.
It's loser talk, man.
It's Charger talk is what it turns into.
Is it December already?
It is what it is, brother. It always seems to be it's been a number of off seasons since I've gone into this thinking the future looks really bright. I really think that.
And just on that note, I feel like this game, the future looks bright for everybody. Throw up Keenan, throw up Mike Williams if you want to be sneaky in DraftKings this weekend. Even Hunter Henry, he's bound to get a touchdown or at least 7 targets. But it'll be a fun game for the Chargers because I feel like they need that redemption. They need that little self-confidence bump.
They need a blowout.
Like when a cute girl gives you a wink or something in the store and you're like, all right, it just makes you feel better the whole day. That's what they need because last week was horrible.
They seem to be guys that like you got to go to a punk rock show and just get in the mosh pit and tough it out. You know, I mean, that's really what I see. You know, keep going. Yes, there's a lack of oxygen that you'll become aware of, but just keep moving and it'll all clear itself out. The band will stop, the mosh will stop, and you're going to come out victorious.
Well, let's jump to the next game. Green Bay 7-2 at Indianapolis 6-3. The Colts are 2-point favorites at 51.5 point over under. I mean, this is a game. Indianapolis really showed a lot in their last game in their defensively against a good Titans offense. I know Ricky doesn't love Tannehill, but you know they kept Derrick Henry out of the end zone. You know, all of a sudden you're looking at Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is playing at an MVP level. You got Devontae Adams also playing like the top wide receiver in the game. But both teams have a good pass defense. Where, do we see a breaking point in this game? Does Aaron Jones, continue to move along? Can he get any kind of traction against what has been a very good Indianapolis run defense? I mean, they're number three against fantasy running backs. Is this?
I think this is Green Bay's game to lose. And as much as Indianapolis has improved, and I'm saying improve with Phillip Rivers as quarterback. just like irks me to no end. I'm like, but it, correct me if I'm, this is just my own observation that Phil seems to be in like a different, he just doesn't seem to be making as many mistakes as he used to make.
No, he's doing like the Drew Brees. He's doing the Drew Brees short is passes. It me? No, he's just throwing the short passes lately.
Okay. Cause I'm like looking, you know, and I'm not, hyper focused on him, but you know, the stat lines, I'm like, oh, only through one interception, three touchdowns. Oh, I'm like, brother, where the hell is that? Was that, for all this time, I maybe it's he's getting older. He realizes that, he can't thread the needle and he's got like what, 17 kids. And so I know he's got to stay in the league a couple more years or whatever, but it just seems like he's another guy. And so I think Indianapolis has improved tremendously, but I think this is Green Bay's game to lose.
Green Bay is going to easily win the game. I feel like it's going to be a little tough at first with the running game, but as soon as they get Devontae Adams loose with the long one or even MVS, you're going to see them basically have an easier time because I don't see Indianapolis able to move the ball. They might be able to run it on them, and their running game did look a little bit stronger last week, but I just feel like Jesse's saying, it's Green Bay's game to lose. Green Bay should easily take over Indianapolis. They've been doing, I like to say, a smoke show when I think someone's not for real. George, you like to say it as if something exciting is happening. I just feel like Indianapolis, they're not that great. Last week, Tannehill's garbage. So I know the numbers say they're number one against the quarterback, number one against the tight end, number three against the running back. Let's see, because this is a hell of a team to go up against. And this will be one of the games I have in the corner that I want to watch specifically because I need to know, is Green Bay for real? Are the Colts for real? Because the Colts don't look for real. So it'll be a fun game to watch.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, Aaron Rodgers has been playing just off the hook this year. So I think he's going to be the key. If he gets going, and he has a history of playing really well in dome stadiums. So, and part of it is going to be, does Devontae Adams get held out of the game because of the ankle? So something to really keep an eye on.
Bono and Lamita. It's like that guy still has weapons everywhere.
I will say one guy that really showed up. Oh, sorry, Jesse. Pégale.
No, I was just going to say, like my mom used to say, vas a ver, vas a ver.
Vas a ver.
Oh, shit. I was like, oh, my God. Vas a ver. Oh, vas a ver. What, anyway.
Well, one guy on Indianapolis to keep an eye on. I mean, it's going to be the running game because Green Bay is vulnerable to the run. But Michael Pittman, does he continue to play well? You know, it's two games in a row where he's shown up after he's been injured. But
I picked him last week because of you. So thank you for that.
Oh, man. Well, let's go over to Minnesota. You got Dallas 2-7 at the Vikings 4-5. Minnesota's a 7-point favorite.
I think this is called the I don't give a shit bowl. For both of
definitely
these.
Well, I'll tell you this, a lot of people
are looking at Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook as far as fantasy. Other than that, yeah. I think even Cowboys fans gave up.
We picked up Kirk Cousins so for this game, and we've had Justin Jefferson as one of our top picks early on, so he's we've been
that's a nice stack. That's a nice cheap stack.
I'm hoping that we have a late break here and it all works out for us. But this is just a fantasy football game, nothing else. The Andy Dalton coming back, he's going to get hurt again, and then you're going to bring in the seventh.
He's
going to
have another injury that you can't see. Yeah.
Like, Jerry Jones's grandson is going to be coming into quarterback this team at this point. I mean, you know, God Almighty, who are you going to get? You know, it's just horrible. Let's not talk about it anymore.
All right. Well, let's
and their defense is horrible too. So
yes, I don't give
let's
a
just
shit
hope point. Minnesota does care. And Minnesota takes this as, okay, now we can be at 500. Now our playoff chances are 1,000 times better. So I just hope they take it seriously. And I'm tired of Dalvin Cook being so awesome, but I have a feeling this is where he's going to get like 175 yards.
I will say, if Andy Dalton is healthy,
easy.
I could see, I know, so say, yo no sé. But if Andy Dalton is healthy, I'm firing up Amari Cooper if I have him, because that Minnesota pass defense is not good.
But Andy's not going to be able to throw the ball to him. I mean, it's like, first of all, he's got concussion. He had COVID. And, you know, what does he have left in the tank? He's got great hair. Other than that, that's like when you say that's the best thing about the quarterback. Oh, he's got great hair.
Even he signed for the Cowboys not thinking he was going to play.
Exactly. Oh, yes. Man. Wasn't he? Is it? He's not. He didn't even move to Dallas. He was living.
And he's
home
from Dallas,
or whatever. But he wasn't. They told him, you don't have to. You don't have to come. Just, you know. I mean, that's sad.
Well, Jesse, you mentioned great hair, and I think the underrated best hair in the NFL, it belongs to Patrick Mahomes, because it's just it's completely unkempt and looks
is
really
this
cool
your segue?
At once.
Is this your
it's
segue?
My segue.
Damn. Yeah.
To Sunday night football.
Sunday night football.
Sunday with Jorge Martin and Ricky Torres. Sunday.
I definitely don't think it's the best hair in the league. I love anyone with dreads.
I think I will
say
Patrick Mahomes
comes out with dreads, then I'll support it.
DeAndre Hopkins is actually my choice for the best hair, because he's just got hair going all over the, like, strands going all over the place. It's fantastic. But you got
he's
we're
so
running,
untouchable too.
Yeah, we're running short on time trying to keep this tight. But I mean, if you're Kansas City, you're firing everybody. The Raiders are not good
for
defensively.
Everything. This game when they last played was in the 30s. So
God, it feels like forever.
You're lighting up all the players. I don't care. I don't care that the Chiefs are number five against a wide receiver. You still got to throw out Derek Carr. Hopefully he gets over 300 yards. He's going to be cheap on DraftKings. Waller, expect him to break out of his rut. Expect Aguilar to come out of the rut. Because for some reason, the Raiders had Kansas City's number. So let's see if they can do it again. Obviously, on the Kansas City side, they're in Vegas. So roll the dice on all these players, because they're all going to get their numbers.
I think if you're Kansas City, you do not want to repeat what you
– oh, yeah.
The big egg you laid last time out there, or last time out, right?
And it wasn't an egg. It was just a fart, because
– no, okay.
They still produced a game. Just at the end, they didn't finish.
It was a shard. That's what it was.
One guy
right,
that...
And, And I think that that's really, you know, what I was going to say is that it just goes back to the fact that if you're Kansas City, you want to show that you're that this that was a fluke, you yes. know, that that was, you know, hey, we are the dominant team in the NFL. I don't care what the Steeler fans are going to say. Right. But you want to show that you are the dominant team in the NFL. And this is where you're going to do it. And because it's on Sunday night and it's the whole thing. And I can't wait for all my cousins who are Raider fans to just weep at the end.
And they're coming off a bye, so I'm expecting a lot of fireworks for this.
Okay. Oh, man. Well, we've had a lot of fireworks today. Jesse, como siempre, you're always gracias, welcome. Esta señor. Es tu casa. Esta es tu casa.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I have a lot of fun with this stuff. I like to insult as much as possible, and I can't find ways to insult either one of you, so that means that I hate you.
Well, everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please make sure you subscribe at Apple. Leave us a review. You can also find us on Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, follow us on Twitter at FamiliaFFB. You can find me at JorgeMartin17. Jesse, where can they find you?
They can find me, Jesse Hyperactive.
At Twitter.
All over social media.
Yeah, and don't forget.
And you can find me eating tacos, too. You can find me eating tacos.
Oh, eso sí. Eso sí. Well, everybody, gracias. Remember, todos somos familia.
Adios. Peace out. Amigos.